This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Hi, and welcome to today's edition of Covenant Living Today. Today on our broadcast, our message is Obeying God, God's Way.
We're in the midst of a series of messages on the spiritual benefits of the Christian life. And as we've been talking about over these past few months, when we talk about the spiritual benefits of the Christian life, what we're talking about is not the fact that God will change our circumstances when we get under pressure. Now, he will do that, amen? But before he changes our circumstances, he usually wants to change us. Before he does something on the outside, he wants to do something on the inside. And so when we talk about the spiritual benefits of the Christian life, what we're really dealing with is what God wants to do on the inside of us to bring us to the abundant life. Because catch this, do you know what the biggest obstacle to you living the abundant life is? Any of you have a mirror in your house? Amen. The biggest obstacle to any of us living the abundant life is us. And so Jesus wants to deal with us. And so that's what this series of messages is all about. We want to learn how to follow Christ in such a way that he can make the changes in us that will lead us to the abundant life. And here's the thing that we've been talking about the last few weeks. It all starts with obedience. It all starts with obedience. There is no way that God can take you to the place he wants you to be, make you the person he designed you to be, if you are not willing to be obedient to God. None of this works without obedience. I praise God that you're here in church this morning. You need to be in church this morning. My prayer is you will be blessed by being in church this morning. But if you walk out of here and do not obey the word that you heard, it will do you absolutely no good. It was a waste of your time. Go over to Isaiah chapter 1. Look at verses 19 and 20. Isaiah chapter 1. Verses 19 and 20. Let God summarize it for you, how this thing works. Isaiah 1:19 says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. God says, the key to living the abundant life starts with obedience. Now, I don't know about you, but my mother taught me that there is a right way and a wrong way to do everything. A right way and a wrong way to do everything. She said, if you're going to do it the right way. You all know that I was a football star in high school. Well, at least you know I played football. Amen. And I remember, I think it was the very first time I actually got in the game. I was playing on defense in the middle of the line, right over the head of the center. And the other team snapped the ball and I rushed right through and I barreled into the backfield and I caught the ball carrier and threw him for a loss. Praise God. Only problem was, as I was getting up, I looked around and there was this yellow flag on the ground. And they called me for face mask. Now, my coach was encouraging. He said, go do it again. Amen. But catch it. I did something good. Wasn't that right? I did something good, but I did it the wrong way. I brought the man down, but I did it by grabbing his face mask. And because I did a good thing the wrong way, I got penalized for it. Got penalized for it. Now catch it. God says we have to obey him. God says that the whole pathway to the abundant life starts with be obedient to the word of God. But we have to do it the right way or we will be penalized. Now I'm going to say some things that may be surprising to you this morning, so I want you to listen to me very carefully. For example, here's the first thing I want to tell you. If you are trying to live your life by obeying God's law, it will mess you up. Is that surprising? If you are trying to live your life by obeying the law of God, it will mess you up. In fact, trying to live a righteous life by obeying the law of God can send you to hell. Go over to Galatians chapter 2, look at verse 16. Galatians 2:16. We have to obey. It's the only way to the abundant life. But if we try to do a good thing the wrong way, it will blow up in our face. Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but how? By faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. If you are trying to live a righteous life by being obedient to the law of God, you will fail and you can end up in hell. Have you ever known anybody that said to you, well, you know, I'm a good person. I try to live by the Ten Commandments. You ever heard anybody say something like that? Guess what? Living by the Ten Commandments will not get you into heaven. The Ten Commandments cannot save you. All the rest of the 6,000 commandments, and I don't know the exact number, but however many there are in the Old Testament and the New Testament, trying to live by the law of God cannot save you. What does it say? You've got to put your faith in Jesus. It's not by the works of the law. It's not by what you do, by your good deeds. The scripture says that all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. You come up before God saying, God, look at what I did. Look at how I obeyed your law. Look at how good I was. I never stabbed anybody, robbed anybody. I never even sold any drugs, Lord. And God says, well, as you're down there in hell, you can reflect on all of that. Why? Because obedience to the law can't save you. Now catch this. Even as a Christian, if you put your faith in Jesus, if you are still trying to be righteous by obeying the rules and regulations of the law, it will still mess you up. You'll never get to the abundant life. In fact, the Bible says that trying to live by the law as a Christian can actually cause you to sin. Think about that for a moment. God's law, trying to be obedient to God's law, can cause you to sin. Let's find out how that can happen. Go over to Romans chapter 7. That's our focus passage for this morning, Romans chapter 7. So wherever else we go, keep your finger in Romans 7. We're coming back. The Bible says that trying to obey God's law as a pathway to righteousness can mess you up and even cause you to sin. First of all, let's remember what the law is. What is law? Law is a standard of conduct and behavior that I am obligated to follow or suffer the consequences. A standard of conduct and behavior that I am obligated to follow or I will suffer the consequences. In other words, a law is the rules and the regulations that I'm supposed to live by. And it's something that I have to do or else suffer punishment. That's what law is. And the Bible says that even the law of God can cause me to fall into sin. Well, how? First of all, look at verse 5 of Romans 7. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. The sinful passions which were aroused by the law. In other words, here's the first reason the law can cause you to sin. The law stirs up evil desires in your flesh. Don't believe me? Try this experiment. How many of you have kids at home? Kids. Okay, now you can try this experiment at home. Go home, put a jar on the table, cover the jar, and make it a jar you can't see into, all right? And leave it there for a couple of weeks. Don't say anything about it, just leave it there. And then one day, come to your kids and say, I don't want you to touch that jar. Don't you open that jar. Don't you put your hand in that jar. You leave that jar alone. Then walk out of the room. What's going on in the mind of your kid? I want to go to that jar. Isn't that right? What has happened? By prohibiting it, you have stirred up the passion in that child's heart to get into that jar. Isn't that right? See, that's what law does to you. I mean, ever since Adam and Eve, we've been this way. Tell me not to do it, and what do I want? Go do it. Stirs up the evil passions. You see, the law by itself can't make me righteous. All it can do is stir up in my mind the desire to get what's forbidden. Go over to Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 7. Understand this. Here's the key issue. Romans 8, 7. Because the carnal mind or the fleshly mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Understand, as long as you are walking in the flesh, in your carnality, you will not want to follow God's law. And when you hear the law, all it'll do is stir up in your flesh the desire to break the law. Because your flesh is not subject to the law of God. Your flesh doesn't care. I use this example all the time. Amen. You know, you guys know I'm working to lose weight. Amen. But I love fruitcake. It's getting down to Christmas time, you know. Take note, it's getting down to Christmas time. And every Christmas season, Priscilla bakes me fruitcakes. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Now understand this, when I see a good-looking fruitcake, my flesh doesn't care whether I'm saved or not. My flesh wants fruitcake. Amen? And don't let my wife tell me, now you shouldn't be eating no fruitcake. What does my flesh say? Who do you think you are? Try to forbid me from having fruitcake. I'm going to have my fruitcake. Amen. So number one, the law just stirs up your passion even more to have what the law says you shouldn't have. But look at the second thing it does. She tell me I can't have fruitcake. What am I going to say? Better not tell me that. Go over to Romans chapter 7. Look at verses 8 and 9. Here's the second thing the law does to you. It stirs up rebellion. Tell you what you can't do, you rebel. Romans 7, verses 8 and 9. But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead. I was alive once without the law. But when the commandment came, sin revived. And I die. When the commandment came, it stirred up sin and I died. What does the commandment stir up? Rebellion. Man, try this on. You've been really busy for the last couple of weeks. And you know it's been raining, so the grass is growing. And you've just been so busy at work and everything, you haven't had a chance to get out and mow your lawn. And one day, you hear a knock on your door, you go to the door, and there's your neighbor. And your neighbor says to you, don't you think your lawn is getting kind of long? You know, it's a bad reflection on the neighborhood. I think you need to mow your lawn. And the thing is, you were You already had your pants and your work shoes on to go out and mow the lawn, and then your neighbor comes up to you and says, go mow your lawn. Men, what are you going to do? It'll be a cold day in a hot place before you see me out there mowing that lawn now. Isn't that right? I mean, you were on your way to get the lawnmower when he showed up at the door. And the moment he tries to tell you what to do, what rises up within you? Rebellion. Rebellion. Just because you told me to do it, you'll never see me do that. Until I can prove to you I didn't do it because you told me to. Wives, understand, this is how your husbands are wired. Now, if your neighbor comes over and tells you to mow the lawn, that's bad. You want to know what's worse? Don't have a woman trying to tell a man what to do. Because what's he going to do? I ain't having no woman tell me what to do. I'm a grown man. I do what I want to do. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, ladies, on whether you ever heard that or not. I don't want to embarrass any men. Amen? Amen. What's the issue? It's natural rebellion. And the moment you tell anybody, oh, you've seen it in your kids, haven't you? You tell them what you want them to do or what you don't want them to do, and the moment you say don't, they say, yes, I will. Amen? See, it's built into us since the fall, since Adam and Eve sinned. That's been part of human nature. So the law automatically stirs up rebellion. Somebody tells you you can't, you want to say, I can and I will. Now, by the way, men, go back to my grass example. Sometimes that kind of thing has happened to me. Not, you know, I haven't had a neighbor come over, but somebody in my household, I won't mention any names, has wanted me to do something, and I already had it in my mind to do. How many of you know your pastor is human? Amen. How many of you know your pastor's got flesh just like anybody else? Amen. All right. So guess what? My mind says, rebel. She says, do it. What? Huh. See, they can't catch that attitude on the tape, you know. We're going to have to go on TV. Amen. But if you are a godly man, what do? My flesh says rebel, but my love for Jesus says it's right. Isn't that right? I can't tell you the number of times when I wanted to rebel. Oh, I wanted and felt justified, sure, felt right. But then I had to admit, she's right. Amen. And you go ahead and do it. Don't let your pride get in the way of obeying God. Here's the third thing the law does. And this may be the hardest thing of all. It stirs up frustration. Go over back in Romans 7, look at verses 14 and 15. Romans 7, verses 14 and 15. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. Do you see what the word is saying? When you are walking under law, trying to obey the law of God, Paul says, look, in my mind, I want to obey God's law. In my mind, I want to do what's right. But I find that something is operating in my flesh, that even though I want to do the law of God, I keep on messing up. What I want to do, I don't do. And what I don't want to do, I end up doing. It's a mess. And it's all because I was trying to follow the law, trying to obey God, trying to do what God's commandment told me to do. Anybody identify with this? You tried hard, and you still couldn't do it. Still messed up. And what happens when you do that? Frustration. Isn't that right? And when you get frustrated with doing right, guess what? Devil comes along and say, well, you already messed up, so you might as well keep on going. I mean, no, I can tell you about this. Let's go back to my fruitcake, amen? You know, Priscilla will bake me fruitcake. And let me just be honest with you. If it's up to me, I mean, just up to what my flesh wants to do, that whole fruitcake, it's gone. It's just boom. I love fruitcake. This is not in the message, but I don't really understand people that don't like fruitcake. In fact, I'm not even sure you're going to make it to heaven if you don't like fruitcake. Amen. And so what we end up doing is she'll bake a fruitcake and put part of it out and then put part of it in the freezer. And what's going on is I'm not going to go, and not because she told me, now this is what I said myself, I'm not going to go and get that fruitcake. But then it's late at night, sitting there in front of the TV, and I get the munchies. And I remember there's fruitcake in the freezer. Now, Lord, I told you I wasn't going to eat that fruitcake. So I'm not going to eat that fruitcake. 5 minutes later, Lord, I really mean it. I'm not going to eat that fruitcake. 10 minutes later, where is that fruitcake? And 15 minutes later, I got a knife and I'm slicing a little slice of fruitcake. Now catch it. I slice a little slice of fruitcake, right? And I eat that fruitcake. Now, the moment I eat that fruitcake and break my promise to myself and God not to go get that fruitcake, what does the devil come do? He said, you already messed up. You might as well get a big piece now. Isn't that right? Go for it, brother. And the next day, Priscilla comes and say, I thought there was some fruitcake in the freezer. What happened to it? Oh, we got mice. I put out a trap. See, what happens is the flesh cannot be controlled by the law. When you set up rules and regulations and say, I'm going to stick to this rule. Oh, Lord, I promise you. Any of you ever done it, Lord? I promise you, I'm never going to do that again. How many of you broke the promise? Amen. Let me tell you why. It's impossible for you to keep that kind of promise. That's why New Year's resolutions do not work. New Year's resolutions don't work. Why? Because it's you trying. It's you trying in your flesh to obey the law of God, and it won't work. Your flesh is not subject to the law of God. And look at Romans 8:8. In fact, before you go to 8:8, look at 7:18. Here's the thing you need to know about the flesh. You will always have your flesh as long as you are here on earth. This flesh will be operating. You cannot train the flesh. You cannot reorient the flesh. All you can do is, by the Spirit of God, control the flesh. And as long as you're operating in the flesh, this is what's the truth. Romans 7:18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, how much good dwells? Nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. As long as we are operating out of our own selves, out of our own desire, even the desire to obey the law of God, our flesh can't handle it because there is nothing good in my flesh. Look at Romans 8:8. Here's the bottom line. So then, those who are in the flesh, what? Cannot please God. As long as you are operating in your own willpower, your own desire to be obedient to God, follow His law, follow the rules and regulations that you find in the Bible, as long as that's what you're trying to do, you cannot please God. Now that makes it seem like the law is pretty bad. I mean, you know, this law thing, it can cause us to sin, it can get us all frustrated, stir up our evil passions, stir up rebellion. The law must be pretty bad. Well, let's take a look. Look at Romans 7:12. Look at what Paul says after he tells us all this. Look at what he says. Romans 7:12. Therefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. The law is holy. What's he saying? Look, yes, there's all these issues with the law, but no, the law is not bad. The law is good. The law has a purpose. God gave us his law in order to bless us. We found out last time that the purpose of law is to help us make wise decisions in life. That's what laws are there for, to help us make wise decisions in life. If you're a teenager in our neighborhoods today, you look around you and it may seem like it would be a wise decision for your financial future to get into the drug business. Now, for a lot of kids, the fact that there is a law with punishment helps them to make a wise decision. They don't have any moral scruples about it, but they understand something. I don't want to go to jail. And because of that, the law helps them to make the wise decision instead of dealing drugs to go get a job at McDonald's. You see, that's the purpose of the law. It's to help us make wise decisions. Go over to 1 Timothy 1:8. Look at how God says the law. We have to regard the law. It's not something that's bad. God gave it to us for good. 1 Timothy 1:8. But we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. You've got to use it in the right way. You've got to do a good thing the right way in order for it to work. Well, how does God intend for the law to be used? Two things that the word says. Number one is to motivate the godless. Number two is to educate the righteous. To motivate the godless and to educate the righteous. Let's look at that. Go over to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Look at verses 8 through 10. 1 Timothy 1, 8 through 10. To motivate the godless. Look at this. But we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly and for sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, and if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. You see, we found out last time when we found that Paul says Christians are not under the law, that the law was never intended for righteous people. If you are a righteous person, we found out we are the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen? If you are a righteous person, the law was never intended for you. You don't need it.
This is Pastor Franklin. Thanks for listening to Covenant Living Today. This broadcast is an outreach of Covenant Community Church. We're a young congregation where the focus is on teaching the Word of God with clarity and integrity so that our members not only understand the Word, but know how to put it to work in their lives on a day-by-day basis. And because we're young, we have some great opportunities to serve. Perhaps you're looking for a church where you can both learn the Word and serve the Lord. If so, why not come and visit with us? Our worship services start at 10:30 every Sunday morning. Plus, we have Bible study every Wednesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Covenant Community Church is located at 1745 Derry Street in Harrisburg. And if you'll come to the corner of 18th and Derry or 18th and Berry Hill, you can't miss our building. For more information or directions, or for a CD of today's message, please give us a call at area code 717-232-5299. That's 232-5299. Or visit our website at covcomchurch.org. That's covcommchurch.org. This is Pastor Ron Franklin, inviting you to be listening for our next broadcast of Covenant Living Today.